rejoicing in hope. The hope of coming glory, beginning with the Lord's return, should keep us joyful whatever the circumstances. You know, when Ron Carpel, the other night, he was talking on the rapture, he was impressing upon us the imminence of the Lord's return. And I just wonder if we have this hope within us as we should have. I've got a book at home written by a fellow named Peter Reed. He tells in the book that he believes the Lord is coming in 1988, and he goes on to explain why he believes that. And of course we all recoil straight away to that sort of thing, because we're told that no man knows the day nor the hour, and that is right, and I'm not going to vindicate the man at all. But do you think he's wrong? Do you really think the Lord could come in 1988? I think he could be wrong in the sense that the Lord could come before 1988. And we're almost into 1987. He could come any time. And this is the blessed hope. And as I think of these things from day to day, I think, you know, we really should be holding the material things with a light grasp. We get so upset sometimes because, you know, we might lose a few dollars here or there, or we should be doing this or doing that. We're going to leave it all soon. And I think the blessed hope, it doesn't grip us as it ought sometimes. It would change our thinking, it would change our way of living. We've got to be rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, and of course, because we have this blessed hope, that enables us to be patient through all the trials that will inevitably assail us. Our time's gone, and we haven't got to our duty towards the world yet. Maybe we could cover that some other time. But as you go through the chapter, you'll then find of it how we should live before the men in the world. The Christian should not live in a way that would bring any discredit upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some pretty searching things there. I'll just skip over a lot of it now, and we'll get down to about verse 17. Things like recompense to no man evil for evil. We shouldn't retaliate. Shouldn't want to get even. I saw a curt little comment once that says, if you endeavour to get even, all you're doing is putting yourself on the same level as the person who has upset you. You know, we read the Old Testament, we read the law, and we say, oh yes, that was the Old Testament. You know, the law is past, this is the day of grace. So we shove that aside. Then we get into the Sermon on the Mount, and there's some pretty stinging things there too. And we say, oh, well, that's dispensation, you know, that belongs to the kingdom, so we get rid of that. But we're in Romans here, and this is talking to us. We can't get rid of this. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men, avenge not yourself. When the young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what is the first and the great commandment? And the Lord gave him two commandments. But do you realize that neither of those are in the Ten Commandments? I know you all know the Ten Commandments, so I won't ask anybody to repeat them. We'll go through them. It says, and the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Israel, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, and thou shalt not covet. The Lord didn't quote any of those. He quoted Deuteronomy 6:4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." But that's not all of the verse. It's Leviticus 19 and 18. It says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." Here it is again. Avenge not yourselves. We should not be striving to get even. In Corinthians 6, it goes further. It says we should be prepared to suffer wrong if need be. Of course, there's a limit to all this, I know. We read of peaceableness further on, and if it gets to a point of fundamental principles, it's not a matter of peace at any price. But we can get into arguments and fights with people which are not worth bothering about, because we should commit it to the Lord. It goes on further and says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." So if you go on, you find out what the Christian retaliation should be. It says, "If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink." We should not be out to get even on these people who upset us, but we should intercede for them. These are some of the things that are brought before us in our duties towards our fellow brethren and towards those who are in the world, that we may bring honour to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may not be able to find fault with us. If there is going to be any arguments or lack of peace, let it not be because of us.